This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You are listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. On the show today, I'm going to be speaking to the couple behind online warehouse sales platform, The Flash Sale Guys. Now, Arvinthan Rengaraju and his wife, Chan Heng Leng, used to be in the events and F&B business before this toy story came to life. And they now sell well-known big brands for limited flash sale events with discounts of up to 90% off retail prices. Arvind, Leng, welcome to Open for Business.
Hi, hello.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Right, so talk to me, guys. You know, tell me about life before the flash sale, guys. You guys were in the event scene and you also used to run Apu Uncle Curry House in PG. I used to go there quite often. So how did you guys end up running an online warehouse sales platform? How did this all begin?
So we used to be very busy with events. As you know, it's a very hectic industry. Obviously, all that came to a halt when the pandemic started. Even before you felt the full effects in Malaysia, there were a lot of events that were already being cancelled, and you know, we already felt it at that point. Apu was also still running at that time.
Yeah, and then we just moved to a new location just before the pandemic.
So yeah, we probably were in one of the two worst industries to be in for a pandemic. I think how we started was that we had a lot of relationships with existing brands that we used to work with or we were working with, you know, with events. And what we tried to do was to then see what we could do with some of these brands. And we used to run the warehouse sales for Hasbro, which is a toy maker. We did it for them for the past 2 years. So when the pandemic started, this was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
So when the pandemic started, we were in talks with the client, and you know, they had a bunch of stocks that were usually sold during the warehouse sale, which they couldn't run that year. So we decided, hey, you know, let's do something with this. So we quickly started this brand called the Flash Sale Guys. And we pivoted to go on e-commerce because obviously e-commerce was the only sector that was pretty much running at the time. With that, we had a bunch of inventory that we started with, and then we just grew from there basically. So a lot of the early products or inventory were very toy-based, I think because we started with Hasbro. And from there, we've also expanded into different categories as well.
Were you doing this while Apu was still in the works, or was Apu already done with and then you moved on to Flash Sale Guys?
We tried. I mean, the thing is, just before the MCO started, mm-hmm. right, in March, if I'm not mistaken, my main cook decided to go back for a short holiday.
Mm.
Right?
And then couldn't come back.
Yeah. So he couldn't come back. MCO started, so we had my second chef, who obviously was not as good as my main chef, right? Yeah. Food wasn't that great anymore. At the same time, people were not, you know, we were not so much in the delivery game so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think also in the initial MCO, restaurants couldn't open. You couldn't do dining, you could only do takeaways. So obviously, I think with the location that we were in DJ, it was a commercial hub. So it was lunch crowd, you know, breakfast crowd. So you obviously didn't have those because people were not in the offices. So we tried doing a bit of delivery, a bit of catering.
Yeah.
That sustained for a while, but generally it was still...
we're losing money after.
We were in the red.
Yeah.
You know, so it was constantly, we were still trying to... we had to keep pumping in to continue the business, which at the same time, you know, we had our event site, which were also still, we had to still cover overheads, the salaries and our rentals, and it was just too much.
Yeah, because we were still kind of holding on to it, thinking that things are going to open soon, we're going to go back into our event jobs or business and whatever not. So we had a few colleagues or staff still working with us for a while.
So in fact, I think we didn't do much organization or reorganization until, you know, as late as maybe July. It was like maybe 3 months into the whole MCO, where then we realized, you know, we can't sustain this any longer. So we had to, you know, start making some cuts and then we started pivoting to doing other things as well, which is where the Flash Sale Guys started. Yeah.
Okay, so what did it take to start up the online warehouse sales platform? Now, how did you build your stock, and how much did you have to invest in, you know, to build your inventory?
So initially, when we first started, we started with a maybe 30,000 worth of inventory. We actually sold off one of our event trucks, you know, to fund that as well. Yeah. And we really started from scratch. We didn't have much time to do planning. It was within a span of, you know, 2 weeks we launched the shop. We sold in whatever avenue we could first. You know, it was through word of mouth. Basically, we did, you know, WhatsApp blast to friends. And then we were collecting orders even before the website was up.
Personal shoppers?
What we did also was we recruited personal shoppers. Which are basically these bunch of ladies who are, you know, awesome ladies who, they are basically homemakers, or maybe they are working full time, but they also do this as a side hustle. They actually provide the service of shopping for other people. So a lot of them, they have their own Telegram groups or their own WhatsApp groups where they have buyers who they purchase for. So we actually have recruited up to maybe about 200 plus personal shoppers to this point. And with that, that comes with a database of maybe two or close to 300,000 people. We started with that, and it's a very predominantly Malay-based demographics for that. And you actually get a lot of penetration outside of Central, because a lot of people who use personal shoppers services are people who may not have access to, you know, certain shops that are available in this in town or in Central areas. So we started with that, and then we were pushing online, and we were running, you know, Facebook ads and doing whatever marketing we could to drive traffic to the website and to start doing the selling. Yeah.
And where is the business at today, you know, when it comes to inventory size? Do you have a warehouse?
So we've actually kept our inventory very, we turn it over very fast, because obviously warehouse, the whole idea of warehouse sale is that you sell in volume and you sell them cheap. Not because they are cheap items, but it's because obviously the stocks that we're selling would either be, you know, factory overruns, or items that are aging that you need to deplete, or, you know, seasonal items, new facelifts. So these are things that brands want to clear before their new batch or new cycle comes in. So they're perfectly good items. They are still, you know, in they're intact. They are still within shelf life. You know, they're usable. It's just that we clear them fast. And because of that, we sell them at a much, much more discounted prices. So when it came to handling the inventory, we will estimate based on the sales. We will take in when we're about to run a campaign, and we usually sell them out. So we don't end up holding a lot of inventory in that sense. So we work together with the brands on that. Yeah.
Who are your competitors in this space? Would I recognize any names?
I honestly can't.
I know we didn't do our homework.
Yeah, but I honestly don't think there are
competitors.
There are a third party who specializes purely in warehouse sales at the moment. Not that I know of, because a lot of brands run their own warehouse sales.
Right.
Literally, they run it in their warehouse, for example.
Yeah.
Or but this was back when, you know, you're able to run on ground events. You're able to have crowds coming to your, you know, premises, and be able to buy the items. But of course, running warehouse sales also is a expense. There are expenses for the brands. You know, there is expenses. There's cost to marketing. There's cost to staffing, manpower. If there is a warehouse that is being run in a location, you have to pay for rental, and then the logistics of moving the stocks and all these kind of things. So it is an exercise that costs money for brands as well. So usually they will outsource either the planning of the event to an agency like us, for example, when we were running events, or they will gather up their stuff and just, you know, not sleep for the next 72 hours and do their warehouse sale. So in terms of a third party who only specializes in warehouse sale, I don't believe there is another similarly positioned platform, as far as I know.
No, but I don't think it's just about just running an event or running a warehouse online platform.
Yeah.
I think it's about how you also help these clients sell it, right?
Yes, okay? Correct.
How we target certain, certain groups in Facebook, you know, how the PS actually helps with the sales and whatever not.
Yeah.
You know, I think these are also important things.
Yeah. So I think a lot of brands...
There might be some other platforms out there who are actually helping with enabling.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So I think when the pandemic started, obviously no events. So brands couldn't run their warehouse sales if they wanted to. So they basically had not much avenue to clear these stocks. So and a lot of them obviously were very active on e-commerce or ramping up on their e-commerce site because there were a lot of retailers that were closed and it was different. The distribution was totally different. But what we find is that for a brand to run a warehouse sale, for example, online and with their existing platforms, they prefer not to use their flagship stores. Like if I have a Lazada store for my brand, I don't want to be running a warehouse sale on the same platform because, you will have products that are conflicting, you have products that are still current and then at the same time you're selling the, off-season stocks. So you are not able to run them concurrently on their flagship store. So that's why we came up with the option of, collaborating with us. So we run it on behalf. So we are the enabler for them to run their warehouse sale and we will run it on our Lazada platform or our Lazada shop or Shopee shop and our website as well. Yeah.
All right. It's time for us to take a quick break for some messages. But when we come back, we discuss these major discounts and, of course, the biggest challenge in running an online warehouse sales platform. All that and more coming up on Open for Business. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Bagi Free Minum, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Open for Business. My name is Audrey Raj. Online with me today, I have Arvindan Rengaraju and his wife, Chan Heng Ling, the couple behind online warehouse sales platform, The Flash Sale Guys. Now, guys, I have to ask you this question. It's always bugged me. How do the price of products get to be slashed down so much? I always wonder how businesses can remain competitive when prices are down by 60, 70, 80, 90%. And that is basically the kind of discounts that you offer on your platform. So maybe you can give us some background into how this is possible.
So I think for a lot of brands, there's a lot of factors that goes into a pricing of a product. Not only the raw cost of the product, of course, but, in terms of how it trickles down to the distribution line, firstly, you need a space to store these products, which is your warehousing. You need the logistics for these products to be distributed. And then, of course, you need the buyers to buy these products. So when things are just sitting in the warehouse, it still costs because you have to have overheads to keep these products in the warehouse. And then what happens when you have your new cycle or your new stocks coming in or your new inventory coming in? So you need to clear these out. And for you to move these products out, like I said, you need to have the buyers, you need to have the distribution channel and the platform to be able to distribute them to. So all these factors comes into play. So the longer you just have stocks that are just sitting in the warehouse, not generating a turnover, is obviously just cost that's that's added to the initial raw price of the product.
Right.
So when it comes to that, then you have to deplete these stocks, and also a lot of big brands obviously have guidelines on how long a product can. Or how much of a shelf life it needs to have for it to be able to be distributed to retailers. Like, for example, if I am a skincare brand, I need to have X amount of shelf life in order for my buyers to buy them and sell them on the shelf. So when it's nearer and nearer to that shelf, to the end of that shelf life, though you have another 2 years left, but it is not suitable anymore to go into retail. So these are perfectly good products that are still usable. It's just that you've already passed the time for you to be able to put them on the shelf, because obviously when it sits on the shelf, you need time to sell them and whatnot. So these are all the different factors and the different kinds of products that you will find that are cleared during warehouse sales. Why they will sell them so cheap is obviously, you know, you recoup the cost of whatever products that are sitting there, and you want to clear the warehouse. Otherwise, you just don't have space. Yeah. You don't have space for you to accommodate for the new cycle. Yeah.
Right. So then what would you say your business model is? You know, do you take a certain cut of the products that you sell, or is it on a project by project basis?
So we've worked with more than one kind of sort of package, or how to say model. We've had times when we have outright bought the purchase, the inventory, assuming that we will get them at a very, very good price. With a certain margin and above, we do actually buy outright and then we resell. But we also work with the brands to do based on percentage, meaning we will do everything, the marketing, the inventory, the warehousing, the fulfillment, everything, basically listing them on the website. But we only take a certain percentage, which could be anything from 35% to 30%, and also dependent on the brand and also the volume of inventory and price point. Yeah.
Yeah, having said that, even when we buy outright, we still have to follow some SOPs of the client. It doesn't mean if you buy outright, you can do whatever you want to do with it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
you have to sell it at a certain amount. Or, you know, you cannot go crazy on the
On the discounts.
So what we want to position, we only want to market brands that are already known, meaning we don't want to buy out like a whole warehouse of, you know, China products that are unbranded, because obviously there's a question of quality and whatnot. So we want to take things that people already know, and it basically sells itself, right?
Yeah. And what kind of research goes into choosing these products to take on inventory?
We do a survey on usually what is the lowest price point of that particular item in the past 3 or 6 months. That helps us decide on the price point to sell them during warehouse sale. But also at the same time, we look at volume as well. How much volume of this particular SKU needs to be cleared, and then we'll price them accordingly. And we also try to do, you know, we bundle up items. So you buy them in a bigger bulk. So obviously the basket size, you know, is increased or upsized. To be honest, also to a certain extent, we choose them based on what we feel sells. But a lot of times, you know, you find products that are obviously sitting in a warehouse because they were not selling at retail. Well, it doesn't mean that it's a bad product. It could be, you know, for whatever reason, either it could be even the SKU was never picked up by any retailer or any of the customer's customer. So they are just, you know, they've never been sold out. So a lot of times we find that, you know, as long as we go with recognizable, reputable brands, people are willing to try even, you know, new variants, new SKUs, new categories, because the price point is affordable for you to, you know, actually sample that product. So in a way, it actually exposes that particular brand to a lot of new customers in that sense. Somebody who would never otherwise buy it would possibly consider to buy it because it is a very, it's a low investment versus what you would normally find outside. So so we don't actually pick and choose. We don't really have a database of things that we can actually use to pick and choose the kind of items that we want to sell. But we do this kind of a bit of a background, like we say, in terms of the price points that is in the market at the moment, and also
really?
In terms of...
Normally you do gut feel.
That's important too, you know, your instincts, right?
It has worked though. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we study too much and this thing, and then we look at each other and say, what do you really think? I think can sell.
Yeah, correct.
Know? Because and it actually sells.
Yeah.
You know?
We've had inventory from clients where, you know, they have so much of this particular SKU of products that, you know, we're just not selling, right? But then we look at it and like, hey, this is a very nice product, right? Why isn't it selling? So, you know, we go ahead with it. And true enough, people love it. Sometimes also, you know, it takes a bit of let's say for the personal shoppers, a bit of demonstration or a bit of, you know, sampling of that product for people to see, oh, you know, actually that's how it works. And, you know, actually this is interesting. And they end up buying them. Yeah. So, maybe gut feel, I don't know.
Gut feel. And then sometimes she sells on the Telegram group. I mean, if you read what she writes of the description, right, it's quite funny sometimes, you know. You just put some life into a certain product. Like, you know, oh, it looks good this way. That is it, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. Okay, I have a question for that little one that has made a special appearance in the background. Hi, what's your name and how old are you?
Six.
What's your name?
Misha.
Hi, Misha. And you are 6 years old. I have a question for you. So do mommy and daddy let you have first dibs at some of the toys they have?
Yeah.
And what are your favorite toys so far?
My favorite toy are mostly my dolls.
And, you know, this is good, right? That mommy and daddy have this business because you get, you know, fresh toys all the time, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Misha. Okay, so the next one I have for you, I'd like to hear from both of you separately, if that's possible. I just want to know, what's the biggest challenge in running this business? You know, compared to the event scene for you, Leng, and the banana leaf scene for you, Arvin, you know, what kind of challenges did you not expect to face in this line of business? And what's been the toughest one or the toughest ones for you guys?
I think for me, I mean, probably to be really honest, I'm quite a dinosaur when it comes to IT, right? Okay, she is good. She knows her things, which makes it work for us because I think, for the past 10 years, we're doing events. So the thing is, my job has always been networking to get the jobs in and then bring it to the office. And then she's always been doing running the show. But now I've got to sit there with her, carry boxes, you know, to look at things, take pictures of our products and all. So this is a bit different, but I think I'm enjoying it. You know, it's basically starting from scratch again, you know. And the good thing now is we get to spend more time with each other. Okay,
that's nice.
Good and bad, I'll be honest with you, good and bad, because sometimes we fight also, you know, they can't stand each other after a while, after 3-4 hours. But at the same time, I think it's good lah, you know, end of the day it's good. And let's see and hope that this thing becomes the next big thing for us.
What about you, Leng? What's been the biggest challenge for you? Has it been Arvin?
Yes, 80% of that, no. I think on our end, obviously to scale something like this, there are a lot of different, you know, legs involved. You know, do you have enough products? And at the same time, if you have enough products, do you have the warehousing? You know, all these, you sort of have to balance because we started off, you know, very quickly from nowhere. So we did manage to, you know, start looking at working with different partners who would help us in terms of fulfillment, in terms of warehousing. You know, we were handling the marketing, for example, and also to negotiate, you know, new brands. And you know, handling the stocks and selecting the things to sell. So and I think it being a very event based is all short term, you know, quick volume. You're a bit uncertain of also when is the next brand or next sale that you are able to run, because people brands only run this maybe 2 times maximum a year. So we gotta keep cycling and looking for new inventory as well. So I think that to make this entire thing scalable and on a very consistent basis is something that we are trying to work towards, because right now obviously it's only been a year. You know, we are not able to say for sure that, you know, it's always good, we're always going to have good inventory, we're always going to have new brands, for example. Yeah, so obviously, you know, with this interview, if there's any brands out there who are listening, nice, you know one. Who to call.
Nicely done.
Shameless plug, don't worry, happens all the time.
Nicely done.
Please don't edit that.
Nicely done.
All right.
flashsales.com.my.
So penultimate question here, any lessons from your past experiences that proved beneficial in running Flash Sale Guys today? Something from the F&B sector, something from the event sector?
I think whenever we're running events, it's similar in the sense that every event is different. There is no one formula for you to run a single event, because every event, every client will have different needs. So it's always a new campaign is always a new, totally new campaign that you have to manage. So when we look at it that way, this entire, you know, new business that we're running is basically one big campaign.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously is our own initiative.
Yeah.
So the sale that we're running right now is actually for a beauty brand that's very popular, and it's right now on the website as well. We put that together in 2 weeks, you know, from confirming it with the client and then getting everything listed on stocks and then the marketing and doing everything else. So that is something that, you know, I think in any other industry is very hard to do, but because we're used to events, everything is last minute. Yeah. Everything was, you know, is needed. The deadline was yesterday.
Correct.
So we are able to work in that pace. And with e-commerce, again, is also very, very fast paced. So I think we've adapted to that, you know, with our 10 or 11 years in events and in the advertising industry. Yeah. So for us, it's easy to see how things needs to be done and to manage and project manage that. And, you know, we just roll them out as how we would roll out a campaign for a client or an event. Yeah, so I think that has helped a lot, you know, our experiences in handling that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah. Okay, and just before we go, guys, what's next for the flash sale, guys? You know, do you have any plans for expansion? What is 2022 looking like? Tell us about what's next.
For us, it's about scaling it to, you know, have more brands and more categories of products that we can, you know, market. Aside from that, also we've actually had spin-offs to other e-commerce categories. For example, we are starting a toy-based e-commerce shop, which is called the Toy Guys. Again, another shameless plug.
Well done.
Which will be specifically selling toys because we just love toys.
Yeah.
And aside from that, obviously the flash sale guys is still running. We're looking for more and more clients or brands to work with. Aside from that, I think we want to be able to also run on-ground events as well when it opens up. Obviously, being that we have the experience to run the on-ground events, and in the end, warehouse sales just works when it's on-ground, right? You see people buying, you know,
stocking up.
Yeah, there's a happy hour somewhere. People are just queuing up, even they don't know what it is for.
And you got to see the smile on their faces when they see the pricing.
Yeah, right? Correct.
They are really happy. You know?
So you know, people walk out very happy with, you know, their purchases and
quite fun. Yeah.
So we are hoping to be able to do that, you know, when obviously all this is over.
Yeah.
And to sort of marry both online as well as on ground as well.
Thank you to the both of you and of course Misha for taking the time to speak with us. For our listeners who are keen to check out your site, maybe you can give them that website one last time.
Alright, it is, listen carefully, www.flashsale.com.my. For the Toy Guys, we are on Lazada and Shopee, so you can look for us by our shop name, The Toy Guys.
Right. And if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. I've been speaking with Arvinthan Rengaraju and his wife Chan Heng Leng from The Flash Sale Guys. This has been Open for Business on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.